Ever feel like when people talk about AI safety, they skip right to Skynet?
Right.
Like, yeah, killer robots are scary, but what about the weird, subtle ways AI is already changing things?
Right. Like it's already happening.
Exactly. And that's kind of what today's deep dive is all about. We're looking at this 2024 Alignment Workshop panel, right? With David Kruger and Victoria Krakowna, a bunch of really smart people, talking about exactly that.
Yeah, I was struck by how much the conversation has shifted, even in the past decade. Like Krieger himself admits, he used to think those big existential risks, those were way off in the future, somebody else's problem.
It's funny how quickly things change, huh?
Tell me about it. But then deep learning takes off, and suddenly it's not theoretical anymore. AI is doing things like way faster than anyone expected. It's blowing past all the milestones.
Feels like a wake-up call. It's not some evil superintelligence in a bunker somewhere. It's like, oh, wait, AI is becoming part of everything we do. And the question is, are our systems even ready for this?
Exactly. And that's where this term Gillian Hadfield uses, this destabilization, it really hit home for me.
Yeah, coming from a legal and economic background, she's got a different perspective.
Totally. And she's basically saying, what if AI starts messing with the systems we rely on, but like without us even realizing it's happening?
Oh, that's terrifying. Give me an example.
Think about like flash crashes in the stock market, algorithms gone haywire. Or you know how people already worry about fake news?
All the time.
What if AI makes it so good, so believable that we lose trust in like any information at all?
So it's not robots taking over. It's more like AI slowly making society fall apart from the inside out.
Kind of, yeah. We're talking economic chaos, political instability, and it's not even some far-off thing. You can see early warning signs already.
Like what?
Think about how AI-powered misinformation is already messing with elections, or how it's making those filter bubbles even worse, right? Dividing people even more.
It's like we're building the tools without really thinking about the consequences.
And that's exactly what we need to start doing, like, right now.
Yeah, the thing is, right, it's not even necessarily about some evil genius using AI for bad stuff.
Right.
It's like, even with the best intentions, we could still really mess this up.
Totally. Like, imagine building a machine that's just too good at its job, you know? Even if
Yeah.
we didn't really get what we were asking for. Kruger actually gives this example about a narrow AI, like one that's just focused on one task, say, maximizing GDP.
Okay, so on paper, that sounds like a good thing, right? Like, who doesn't want a booming economy?
Exactly. But then you got to ask, what if that AI starts prioritizing efficiency over like everything else, like environmental protection, worker rights?
Because it's just trying to get those numbers up.
Exactly. It's like telling someone to get you to the airport as fast as possible, but you forget to mention not to run any red lights on the way.
Ooh, I like that. So you might get there, but at what cost?
Exactly. And this actually gets to what Hadfield's talking about with how we think about AI safety overall. Like, we're so worried about one AI going rogue, but what about all these AI systems, each doing their own thing?
Oh, interacting in ways we never even thought about.
Right. It's like the difference between like how one person acts versus how like an entire market works or a legal
We
system.
didn't design those systems for AI agents.
Exactly. We've got rules for how people and companies are supposed to interact, but those were made for a pre-AI world. And now you've got these AI agents making decisions at lightning speed, maybe exploiting loopholes we didn't even know were there.
And suddenly the old rules don't apply anymore.
Exactly. So the question becomes, how do we adapt? And that's where this whole governance thing comes in. Because even if somehow we could program every AI with perfect ethics.
Which, let's be real, is a long shot.
Right. But even then, what happens when they bump up against each other or against the real world in ways we didn't expect?
So it's not just about building safeguards into the AI itself. It's like we need guardrails for how we actually use it out in the wild.
100%. And this is something Robert Traeger brings up, and it's really important. There's always going to be this tension, right, between safety and performance. We can't expect these systems to be like crazy powerful and perfectly safe at the same time.
So how do we choose? Where do we even begin to draw those lines?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And Traeger's point is, we're kind of obsessed with these first best solutions, like the ideal scenario where everybody cooperates, follows the rules, but in the real world, we got to be ready for second best.
So like a backup plan for when things inevitably go off the rails.
Exactly. Like, think about, we don't assume everyone's going to obey all the traffic laws all the time, right? That's why we have speed bumps, traffic cameras. They're not perfect, but they make things a little safer.
In a world where perfect drivers don't exist.
Exactly. And we might need that same kind of thinking for AI. Like, what are the AI versions of speed bumps? How do we get everyone to agree on them?
That's a good analogy.
Mm-hmm.
But even if we do agree on some ground rules, how do you actually make sure everyone follows them? I mean, AI development is happening everywhere, right?
Oh, totally. It's like the Wild West out there. And this is where Victoria Krakovna's point about concrete threat models is so important. She's saying it's not enough to just talk about AI risk in this vague, abstract way. We need specific examples of how things could go wrong.
So not just AI is dangerous, but here is exactly how AI could mess this specific thing up.
Yes. And those examples, they're crucial for a couple of reasons. One, it helps people who aren't, like, AI experts grasp the very real consequences, right? But even more importantly, it gives us something concrete to design solutions around.
It's like we're not just trying to predict the future. We're trying to design for every possible way it could go wrong.
Right. And that brings us right back to Hadfield's point about how, like, tech solutions aren't enough on their own. It's easy to think we can just, like, code our way out of this whole mess. But
it's deeper than that.
Way deeper. We might need to completely rethink how our society even works.
He actually makes this comparison to, like, financial systems, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it's like we already have things like credit card companies, banks, right, acting as these intermediaries.
Right.
And Hadfield's suggesting we might need something similar for AI, like ways to control who gets access, maybe even like a system of checks and balances to keep everything, you know,
from going off the rails.
Exactly.
But then who decides on those rules?
Right.
Like, who gets to control the AI?
$1 million question, right?
Yeah.
How do we make sure those rules are fair? And then even if we figure all that out, how do you actually enforce them?
When anyone can build AI from anywhere.
Exactly. It's like the ultimate collective action problem, but on a global scale.
Whoa.
Right. And even if somehow we get all the countries to agree, which, let's be real, that's a whole other deep dive.
Right.
But even then, Traeger brings up this other issue. Verification. Like, how do you actually prove that someone's following the rules when the technology itself is all about, like, adapting, changing?
It's a black box.
Totally.
So it's not enough to just build a safer AI. It's like we need to build a safer world around AI.
100%.
We're talking new institutions, global cooperation.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's daunting, for sure. But it's also, I think, kind of exciting. You know, what's cool is that all these experts, they seem to agree on one thing. This isn't just about the code. It's about us.
Oh, I like that.
It's about our ability to, like, see these challenges coming and adapt to build a future where AI benefits everyone, not just, you know.
Not just a select few. And honestly, I think that's the biggest takeaway from this whole conversation. If you're listening to this, you're already ahead of the curve. You're asking the tough questions. And that's what matters right now, because as AI changes the world, the most important question isn't what can it do? It's what do we want it to do?
Yes.
And how do we make sure that happens?
That's the deep dive we all need to be on.